Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jim Osterhoff is here, too. Jim's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, and he's with associate editor with the Kiplinger Washington Editors. And that's an outstanding group of folks that you know very well. I've introduced you to many of them over the years, including all the way from the very top, the chairman and the editor emeritus, Mr. Austin Kiplinger, who celebrates his 87th birthday this month, and the 85th, I think, anniversary of Kiplinger this month as well. And as well as Knight, his son, the grandson of the founder, and on, lots of different folks, Joan Pride, and Gary Matthews, all those guys, and our guest, or maybe I should say our victim this hour is Jim Osterhoff. Jim is associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Jim, my next victim, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Inquisitor. always good to join you.
Sit down, have a seat in the comfy chair, Jim.
Yes, thank you much. I appreciate it.
So much of everybody's conversation these days revolves around Katrina. We're going to have BK and AK, right? Before Katrina and after Katrina. That's the way people are going to reference their world, especially in the Gulf Coast region, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, because its effects not only were immediately devastating, but will be long lasting. They will affect the area and people for many decades to come.
You know, Jim, I poorly quoted a really smart person that I just can't remember who said this. I'm going to get this information and give the attribution properly soon. But some really smart person one time said that I'm paraphrasing the best I can, that human beings exist by permission of nature, subject to change without notice.
Correct, and that says it all.
And boy, howdy, did Katrina prove that this year?
Oh, absolutely. No matter what we do, how we planned, whatever, we planned, we tried, and then nature did what it always does.
Well, one thing, Jim, that I think we have to think about is I think we have to really come to terms with this. This movement, this evolution of our population to move toward water, to move toward the coast, the development of the coastlines, and a lot of people might say, well, this is why is this so much more devastating? Well, one reason it's more devastating, not just for New Orleans, but for other parts of the country, like what's happening in the Carolinas right now, is we're developing the coastlines. And that's the very fragile parts of our country to Mother Nature. And so when we have these kinds of things, we shouldn't be surprised that there's more devastation than last time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, populations on coastal areas have soared over the last 10 years, 25 years. And in fact, I should say there are some data, which I'm not exactly sure the source, but the majority, well over 50% of our population, lives something like within 50 miles or so of a coast.
Absolutely. Well, I was just in Miami in Fort Lauderdale recently, right. I got the feeling that the state bird of Florida is the crane. They were everywhere you looked. There was a crane building another high rise down there.
That is correct. And there always is that balance and one that you cannot say this much and no more, but it's very hard. I mean, because at some point you really cause some harm, or at least put people in harm's way. Mm-hmm. But knowing exactly how much, of course, is the issue. Nobody knows.
Well,
absolutely, there are more people in harm's way.
Well, it seems to me that if we're going to do that, obviously, ultimately, one day, somebody will have to do like they have done in Phoenix before, where they didn't have enough water for everybody. They actually did a building moratorium, but at least the first step is to say, okay, we have all these people in potentially harm's way. What's the plan to get them out of here?
Right.
And apparently there was no plan in certainly in New Orleans and as well as many other parts of that part of the country.
Oh, absolutely. And of course that was an issue and remains an issue in so many places. And even there are times when, especially after 9/11, municipalities, large ones, have made plans for evacuation, and somebody developed it and they put it in a drawer. Well, who knows?
Right.
It needs to be more widespread.
You know, Jim, when I used to work with my father when I was a kid, he talked about what it costs to do things right, as compared to what it costs when you do things wrong. If you don't like the cost of how to do this thing the right way, if you think that's too much, what's it going to cost to have to redo it, to do it wrong? And so I don't know what it would have cost to have gotten New Orleans protected from a hurricane level four or five. But we now, Kiplinger reports this week what we think it's going to cost because we did it wrong, don't we?
It may wind up costing something around $200 billion.
That boggles the mind, doesn't it? Compared to past, you know, past storms, we've heard things like, and events like this, we've heard, you know, $8 billion, $10 billion, that kind of thing.
Right, and you know, it far outstrips spending and insurance costs. Any other natural disaster, and even if you factor in inflation and cost of living changes since then, but it far outstrips everything else because there's so many people involved and over such a large area.
90 million square miles. Ninety thousand square miles. I'm sorry.
Square miles.
I don't know where I had the millions and the billions in my head. 90,000 square miles, wasn't it?
Something like that.
That's
more than just saying, "Oh, it rained there." No, we're talking in most of that area is devastation,
blown away. And you know, from an insurance basis, one of the big sticking points down there is going to be what is declared to have been destroyed by falling water, and what was destroyed by rising water. And from a property and casualty insurance standpoint, that's a very important distinction. We're going to touch base on that issue and some others right after these messages. More on how Katrina, the Hurricane Katrina aftermath, is affecting not only those folks, but all the rest of us, with our good friend Jim Ostroff. He's with the Kiplinger Editors right after these messages. Here's Sweet Baby James to take us out. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. Comes on Sunday. Gets you ready for the week ahead. Comes by email. It is free. I know how you like free things, and so that we did it. And so is the website. All the things on the website that you can enjoy, including our blog, Jim's blog. I think you'll like that. And you can subscribe to it, by the way, using really simple syndication. And if you don't know what that is, you can learn about that at our website as well. And all that's free and all available to you thanks to our good, outstanding partners, including our new corporate partner, Administaff. Jim Ostroff is our guest, and we're talking about the impact of Katrina. Jim, $200 billion cleanup, and you say that there's already $62 billion on the way.
Yes, it is, because obviously Congress, as everybody recognizes, there, you know, is some absolute immediate need here, just to first take care of victims, to just feed them, provide
just initial basic needs.
We're not talking
thriving here. We're talking about life maintenance.
No, it is life maintenance, life support, and doing things which are vital to the the life of our country, like just basically reopening the ports and making sure the Mississippi is navigable.
Doesn't it continue to astound you, Jim? I shouldn't be astounded. I shouldn't use that word because we've had so many examples of it over the past. But doesn't it continue to thrill you to see the benevolence of Americans for wherever the need is? And I also have to say one more thing, Jim. There is aid coming to us from other countries right now.
That is correct.
Isn't that something? Isn't
and
that great?
Whether it be England, Japan, even France, and I feel it's more than just something where you might say some type of diplomatic thumbing at the nose.
Right.
They recognize the human suffering and the need, and at least want to say, look, you know, to the extent we're able, we're trying to help, and we will help.
And they know that if something happened to them, they know where we would be. Not only do they know that that's where we would be, they have all, just about everybody in this world has had the experience of being on the beneficiary end of our benevolence.
Oh, absolutely. Over the many decades, you know, the United States has provided hundreds of billions of dollars in aid. Mm-hmm. And really, it is just aid and assistance. And of course, you know, we talk here about, in the letter this week, a Marshall Plan for the Gulf Coast. But don't forget the Marshall Plan. And that absolutely saved Europe, saved Western Europe.
Right.
It made all the difference in the world.
Jim, one of the things I'm hearing talked about, though, is something like a 911 fund, which is money that would be made available to the victims of this event. The way that money was made available to the 911, the families of the 911 victims, that's something I'm hearing, and that's going to be a controversy, isn't it?
Well, it will be, because you might just say, how do you know? How can you certify, and as a human being, how can you go and insist
right.
on certifying that this person or that one mm-hmm. was injured or displaced? Even now, of course, very sadly, but there are many reports, incredible ones, of people who took advantage of 911 funds.
There are already fraudulent Katrina websites, Katrina charity websites.
Thousands, apparently. That is just a commentary on human nature, but there are those out there just waiting to pounce and to take advantage of people. And absolutely, you are correct. There has been a monumental outpouring of assistance by the American people. And it really, in a way, is heartwarming to see people outside of supermarkets or other mm-hmm. stores actually collecting now. They have little badges. I mean, you assume it's all on the up and up, but I believe it is. And you see that in every place. In my company, Kiplinger, as well as many, many others, there are funds that were set up by the company mm-hmm. for this that goes directly. And there are even matching funds. And in addition to that, I've seen people even coming around with a cookie jar in offices collecting money. So it really says something about the goodness of the American people.
You know, Jim, there is a website, and I'm going to try to get the name of it for everybody, where you can go, and they actually have evaluated the legitimate, a couple of thousand legitimate.
Correct.
Do you know the name of that website offhand?
No, I don't.
I'm going to get that for you, folks, but there's a website that actually. Not only do they say, okay, these people have been checked out and they're okay, but here is the administration cost. When you give a dollar to these people, they're going to take a dime for administration or 15 cents or whatever, and you can evaluate that. And of course, that's one thing to think about, Jim, is when you're contributing to something, is how efficient is that charity? How, you know, does the director get $1 million salary and, you know, take a big chunk out of that or whatever? As we have seen in the past, in some legitimate charities.
Right.
So the main thing you want is for every dollar of benefit that you or contribution you make, you want as much of that as possible to go to the benefit, to go to the recipients.
Yeah, absolutely, and of course, charitable organizations have costs, but it varies.
Absolutely. Stand by, Jim. Quick break. Right back with Jim Ostroff right after these messages. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administeth. You really, really, really love me.
Do you say the same words to someone else when I'm not there?
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Osteroff is our guest. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Jim, you know, when we went to the break, I was talking about this website that evaluates charities. And, you know, a lot of people, obviously the Red Cross is the first one that comes to mind. But there are people out there who have a little attitude about the Red Cross. And I mean, I know that, and I think they do too. There are some people who aren't in love with the Red Cross, but there is a website, and I found it for you folks. It's called CharityNavigator.com, and it actually received Forbes magazine Best of the Web for in 2004 for what they do. And so if you go, and I said .com, it's .org, charitynavigator.org, charitynavigator.org. And what that website does, Jim, is it not only identifies charities that they think are good ones, as I said, they actually will tell you what the administration charge is, so that you know what part of the money you're giving actually goes to the need. And so I my hat's off to those folks who are doing that. And they've got thousands, I think about 4,600 ratings in there that you can check out. So I hope you'll do that. Jim, let's move on down and talk about the transportation. You know, as you and I were visiting last week, and we were talking about transportation, you know, I knew that there are a lot of, you got I-10 and I-12 going through there that's been disrupted by the bridges that have been knocked out. You got Lake Pontchartrain, the bridge across the lake there, the causeway is knocked out.
Right.
Railroads, that's a major rail corridor down through there. It's one of the largest ports in the country. And I heard Norm Mineta, the Secretary of Transportation this week, say, and I'm paraphrasing, that this is the largest transportation disruption in the history of our nation.
That is correct. And it is such a vital break in the link, because so many goods we depend on come in and out of the Port of New Orleans and move up the Mississippi and move by rail and truck from the area, and all of it has been disrupted. Now, I must say, American business has been, as you'd expect, very ingenious in finding ways to try to get around this in any way possible. But it is a problem, and that's why they're, you know, working very hard here to get these vital arteries fixed.
Well, and we've got so many goods and that were offshore, ready to come ashore and to come into the Port of New Orleans. We've got so many goods that were on rail headed east and west to their locations. You got companies out there who are waiting on products that should have been here last week that probably aren't even there yet because they got held up. You got that's costing sales of customers. Some customers are saying, just give me my money back. I don't want to wait on that anymore. And so this is the kind of ripple effect that it's having through the economy, isn't it?
Absolutely. And in addition, of course, there is, I might say, billions of tons of various grains and things from harvest ready to go for export. The United States is a monumental, the world's largest agricultural exporter.
Right.
And now a lot of this has just been backed up. Mm-hmm. And you can't say, well, okay, store that corn on the farm or the
right.
soybeans or whatever. It has to go somewhere.
That's right.
So it is having enormous ripple effects.
By the way, I want to point out this cool graphic that you guys have on the front page. It shows how much FEMA, how much Federal Emergency Management Relief has been paid out in billions. In 92, Hurricane Andrew looks like something around $4 billion or so, compared to Hurricane Katrina, over $60 billion so far already. Okay. So, you think about how big Andrew was 13 years ago. This is dwarfed in comparison. So, thanks for the good graphic there.
Oh, yeah.
on the homepage, Jim. Let's move over and talk about how Katrina. Believe it or not, folks, Katrina is going to impact the tax legislation, the tax planning of our Congress. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Tax planning in Congress. Anyway, go ahead. How's it going to affect us, Jim?
Yeah, well, the thing here is that, you know, Congress has made relief and reconstruction in the aftermath of Katrina, you know, priority number one. And it is then sidetracking many other measures, including tax cuts that are planned here. It just, of course, it's sort of temporarily, but the thing here, as with all legislation, you just never know when something is bearing down and then gets diverted. You're not sure when it's going to get back on track.
Most of the key deductions, tax reductions that we've gotten recently are not renewing this year, and I'm grateful that they aren't, because they might not be if they were coming up right away. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to see what Katrina is going to do to the Fed's decision next week about it. Interest rates. Stay with us. It's getting near dawn. Welcome back. It's 17 till. When lights close the tired. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate in. Having a great visit with our good friend Jim Ostroff. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. You know, folks, part of my job is to recommend really good organizations and really good people to you. That's part of my mission in life is to help you find the really good folks, so you don't have to spend so much time looking around and helping you cutting your due diligence for the different things that you need as short as possible. And so that's the reason why I recommend the Kiplinger letters to you and their website, kiplinger.com. It's just the best, and I hope you'll check it out. And a lot of free stuff there you can use. They make a lot of free stuff available. I've been using it now for years. I've been reading their publications for decades. Jim Ostroff Jones accuses me of being an original subscriber from 1923, but I don't quite go back that far. But you guys have some outstanding publications. The weekly Kiplinger letter that we work off of every week is just the best. And also you have the three biweekly letters, the agriculture letter, the tax letter, and the California letter. Those are three different publications focused on those three different areas, and they come out every other week. And then there's a magazine you guys have.
That's right. We have Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine.
Yeah, and that's available on the newsstand as well as subscription. And you can subscribe at the website, but also there's a phone number. Give it to us, Jim.
Yes, happy to do so. It's toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
And folks, don't forget to ask them for the Blassingame 30-day free trial. After they hang up on you when you mention my name, call them back and don't say it again, but ask them for that 30-day free trial. Jim, next week, the Fed meets for one of their regular FOMC meetings, Federal Open Market
Correct.
Committee meetings, and I'll be covering that in our Fed Watch show. And I want you to tell us what Kiplinger thinks. Katrina, you know, there's been some speculation that Katrina might dampen the interest increase fervor of the Fed. What does Kiplinger say about
right,
that?
Right, right. Yeah, of course. The thought here is that there's concern that the economy is going to be taking a hit from Katrina, and therefore the Fed will hold off in making another rate increase. But Kiplinger has looked into this and believes that for the Fed, that inflation is a bigger worry even now than it was before.
Because of petroleum, because of the shortages of construction products, raw materials, and that sort of thing.
And gasoline. So they're saying that, you know, the thought is that prices will spike here for a while, and the Fed is concerned that that would ignite roaring inflation. So it is likely to increase the interest rates by probably another quarter of 1%.
I hope you're wrong, Jim. I suspect that you're not, but I hope you guys are wrong about that. But I will say that something that's happened in the last few days is they've taken another sort of a poll of consumers, and the news is not good from consumers right now.
No, there is a falling consumer confidence, increasing fear about the future, and that has real world impact in that when people are concerned, they'll hold off making that big purchase. And the real fear here is for the upcoming Christmas season at retail.
Right.
And if that gets derailed or knocked back, there are many, many billions of dollars that are not spent. And frankly, the fate of some retailers may hang in the balance.
You know, Jim, one of the things that I'm concerned about out there across the marketplace with this is the impact of the raw materials, the construction raw materials. We're already having difficulty with cement because of what's going on in China and other parts of the world, the increased demand for that. But we've got cement, we've got wood products, and lots of different products that were already kind of in short supply and had gotten pretty pricey. But what's going to happen now is the reconstruction of the Gulf area is going to be subsidized by the government and by the contributions that are being made, and so the price won't really matter all that much. But you go to another part of the country where they're not subsidized, and a guy wants to build a house or an office building or something like that, he or she is going to pay those higher prices without any subsidies.
Absolutely.
And that's unfortunate. That's going to be a negative ripple through the economy for other people.
Absolutely. And it's just a tax, you might say, a price
right.
they must pay.
Yep.
No alternative. You pay it or you don't build.
Right.
And of course, this is something that ripples through the economy and affects all of us in mm-hmm. that higher prices for all sorts of plastics and plastic
right.
products. Somebody has to pay. In fact, in many cases, we expect manufacturers to essentially eat some of that.
Right.
But some of it will be passed on.
Right. Jim, let's move over to page 3 and talk about technology. Let's leave Katrina behind for a little bit and talk about some of the new things. You guys are predicting that some of the new technologies like flat screen TVs are going to be coming down quite a bit.
Oh, yes. They have, you know, finally reached that point over here where there is a mass market, a lot of people in the market for them, and that means that a lot more are being produced. The cost per unit is coming down, and so that's it. We see prices really falling, getting good values on things from, you might say, the widescreen digital TVs,
right.
including plasmas, digital cameras and DVD and laptops,
mm-hmm.
and various, you know, music players like iPod. And of course, this follows a traditional pattern we've seen
right.
with products for decades.
Right.
You could go originally and buy a video player, and it would cost
mm-hmm.
you $5,000.
Right, absolutely. And also, you know, the computer monitors have been coming down. The flat-screen computer monitors have been coming down. They've led the way, basically, in terms of getting those prices down. And so we're going to be seeing that more and more with those flat-screen monitors. And the batteries for your laptops are going to be lasting longer, too. That's the good news. 10 till. Stay with us. Here's Robert Cray to take us out.
Won't you come away?
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Jim Ostroff, associate editor with the Kiplinger Washington Editors. And Jim, thank you so much for your steadfast support of all that we do and such a great job that you do when you join us.
Thank you, Jim.
Let's move over to page 4 and talk about what's going on in Europe. There's some new stuff, pretty exciting things going on. I'm very heartened about this. You know, Mr. Schroeder, the Chancellor of Germany, is one of the three ignominious guys to me, one of the infamous guys of Europe. He, along with Chirac and really Putin as well, you know, those three guys could have supported the UN's resolution to make Saddam comply, and they didn't. And of course, we went to war there. And whether we should have or not, the point is if we now know that all three of those guys had their hand in the till of the oil for food debacle, the oil for food scandal. And so we now know that they made their decision not as a national leader on some principle. They made it based on graft. The business that those companies, those countries were doing with Iraq and largely through the oil for food scandal, the oil for food direction of that the money was going to you know, in terms of payola, and so I'm so disappointed, but I'm also excited about the possibility that Angela Merkel is appearing to be the maybe the leader in that election over there next month in Germany.
Well, that is correct. And
tell us about her.
Basically, you might say a rising leader, someone who's said to be smart and who maybe understands a little more about how things really work, and perhaps maybe what is better for citizens, at least in Germany. And the point here is that she seems intent, at least on trying to pass various, you might say, labor reforms
mm-hmm.
that will help boost Germany's competitiveness. And for instance, as Kipling reported for this year, Europe is doing really well. Germany expects its GDP to grow in this case, maybe 1% next year.
All the way up to maybe 2%, right?
And even the best of them with Britain, about 2%. And if we had that year after year in the United States, we would just be wringing our hands.
That's right.
This
is excitement for them. But she's also realized, she's a very pragmatic person, apparently, and she realizes that if Germany's future is going to be better off if they become friends with the United States, they've got to quit being jealous of the United States and start saying, okay, let's, just because we don't like some of the things that the United States does, doesn't mean that we can't model ourselves after some of the successful things that they've done.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think she sees that, and so I'm excited about that possibility. So let's track that, folks. You might want to pay attention to what's happening. That's a very important development, I think, in Germany. The election's coming up. What is it? When is it? Sometime next month, I think, in October.
That's right.
I believe that's right. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. No. No, it's this week.
Yeah.
Is that right? It's the 18th of September. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
It's not
I'm
that
sorry.
Far away.
It is. The polls are open September 18th.
Yeah, so that's that. By the time we talk next, Jim, this will be that die will have been cast. Jim, let's move on down and talk a little bit about HR, human resources.
Right.
One of the problems small business owners have these days is finding good people. And you guys report this week that one of the keys to success may be to hold on to some of our older employees, not let them retire so early.
Absolutely.
Because so what do we do? Just chain them to their desk, Jim?
No, it's basically the main thing here is try to, you might adapt the various benefits or even scheduling over here to help, maybe give people who are a little older some incentive to stay there. And that might be just offering more flexible mm-hmm. schedules various hours, adjustable hours, you might say, just so long as the work gets done.
Right.
And a lot of people, more telecommuting. And even offering, you might say, phased-in retirement mm-hmm. so that, they say, so they might say somewhat older workers can work a little less, but they will still be there. All of that contributes and helps because, you might say, there is a looming labor shortage
That's right.
given our demographics.
That's exactly the generational wave demographics, no question about it. Plus the fact that the culture is more amenable to people being productive all their lives.
Absolutely.
I mean, the idea of retiring and wandering off into the sunset is becoming less and less appealing to people. And so, folks, don't lose those older workers. They're a lot of your brain trust. So you don't want to lose those guys. Hey, Jim, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for doing such a great job today.
And thank you, Jim.
Jim Osteroff, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I promise you, we're not going to let him get away. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program really is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.